1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to start reading verse 1 through 7. And then we'll come down to other verses as the Lord would allow for today. Look here what the Bible says in verse 1. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overcome you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not the children of night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach in your word. And I pray, Father, Lord, you know the need of every single person that will hear this message. And I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to work on their heart and that you would meet that need. Lord, if there's someone that's in need of salvation, I pray that they would see that great need that they have today and they would get saved. Lord, I don't know about the believers that are here, where they are in their walk with you. But Lord, I pray this message would encourage them and help them to be faithful. And well, thank you for that. Help the young people to learn from what they're going to be taught and keep that hedge around us. In Jesus, your precious name. Amen. Now, this portion of Scripture, if you remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's after 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's amazing how that works, 4, 5. And in those verses, verse 13, verse 18, he talks about the rapture of the church. And now when he gets down to but the times and seasons, brethren, he's talking about this day of the Lord. So there's a period of time when you see that day of the Lord, you see the rapture, goes through the tribulation period, through the millennial reign, that day of the Lord that's there. Here, he's trying to remind the believers and warn us as believers to make sure, if you want to put a title to it, stay busy for Jesus. Stay busy for Jesus. The first one, verse through seven, I'll put a subtitle there. You could put, be ready. Amen? Be ready. In these verses that he was given to the church, that ultimately given to us, he was given a warning, which is ultimately a warning for us, is telling us to be ready for his return. The reality is this, there's not a single person in this world that knows when Jesus is returning. No one knows. Not a single person. I don't care if they say they're a scholar, they read the Bible 865 billion times and studied whatever. The reality is, if they're truly a scholar, they would tell you that the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour. So it's you don't know. I cannot tell you for sure when Jesus is coming. But I can tell you for sure, he is coming. I can tell you that. Now, the Bible does tell us, as we see here, he's telling us that day doesn't have to take us blindly. We can be ready for it, right? Matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 11, he even says, as ye see the day approaching. So it means as a believer, you can look and say, well, it appears things are getting closer. We just don't know when he's coming, right? So I can look and see what's going on in the world and say, well, it appears he's getting closer. I just don't know. Is it going to be tonight? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it after our lifetime? I have no idea when Jesus is coming. But I do know there are some things when you look at the Bible, and I talked about this briefly last week, is when you see with Russia, what's going on with Russia, in Iran. Iran's name in the Bible is Persia. We do know in the Bible, Iran and Russia are linked up. They work together. And you know what our CIA or intelligence community told us this week of when Iran was shooting different targets for the United States? They were getting the intelligence from, Mark, do you remember?
Russia.
Russia, right? You might say, preacher, how do you know all that? Well, you just look at the book. Amen. You read the book. You don't have to be really intelligent. You just read the book. God said it, right? So we also know that means that America will not wipe out Iran. It's impossible. Matter of fact, that means America will not wipe out Russia. And matter of fact, that does tell us that Russia will always be a superpower, because they will lead these nations that's there. So anyway, I'm not telling you these things to scare you. I'm just telling you the truth that's there, right? But anyway, here it is. He's telling us that we don't have to be off guard. We could be ready. Amen? Now, again, I may not know when he's coming, but I could be ready for that day. And can I tell you, I am ready for that day. If the rapture would happen today, do you know what's holding back the Lord from coming? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God loves you if you're lost, and he wants you to get saved. There's going to be, you think about, when that rapture happens, it's going to have to be one last person to get saved. Then the rapture have to happen after that, right? So it always has to be a person, the end person, right? But anyway, it's God's timing, not my timing, right? It doesn't matter what's going on. It's God's timing. And you know what has to be fulfilled in Scripture before Jesus comes back? Anybody know? Nothing else. Zero. Nothing has to be fulfilled, right? The reality is Jesus can come at any time. There is no Scripture that said this has to happen before Jesus comes. You won't find it. Now, some people will point to things. That's the second coming of Christ. There's things in the Bible that talks about for the second coming of Christ. But the rapture of the church, there's nothing. What that means is he can come at any time. And here it is, he's telling them, hey, make sure you're ready. Make sure you're watching. That word sober in verse 6 means to be of control of one's mind and life to the end, about obeying the Lord in all things. It refers to spiritual alertness, seriousness of purpose, temperance. Here he tells us, as we go back through there in verse 2, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, right? God's not God. He's not going to tell you and say, Chris, I'm coming tomorrow, right? He already told us that he's coming. We're not going to know, right? He goes on and says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction, right? There's people that will say that. Iran, that's what our government found out. Iran made a deal and said, no, we won't try to make all that stuff to make nuclear bombs. And when they had negotiations, you know what they found out? Iran lied to them. And they had the uranium that they were making, and they were going to make nuclear bombs. Matter of fact, I was talking a little bit about this in Sunday school. I'll be brief. You do know that the leadership, well, even it depends on the leadership of the day, right? As soon as they find out, Chris, they're going to kill that guy, right? But the Muslim belief, the majority in Iran, their belief, their cleric, the high leaders, they're looking for the 12th Imam with Mahdi. I'm probably saying that incorrect. And the reality is they believe he will come back during destruction. There has to be a time of war, destruction, chaos that's happening. That's their in their mindset. So when they throw out bombs all different places, they're hoping it starts for the return of their 12th Elam. And when you look at it, the reality is they're looking forward to the Antichrist. That's what they're looking for. So they're never going to have peace of what they believe, because they believe destruction has to happen for their prophet to come back. So Iran is, you know, it's crazy, right? There could come a person, right, and say, hey, we're due all these things that comes on the scene, and they're in agreement. But that's what their beliefs, and again, in Muslims, there's different groups or sects, or you want to say that. That's the main one that's there of the leadership. That's why that former president in Iran would always say death to America, death to Israel, because that's what they believe has to happen for their Antichrist or their prophet to come back. So that's all free information. You can actually Google that. Go out and look and you'll find that, right, of what they actually believe. You can put in the 12th Elam. I think it is I-M-A-M, I think it is. The other name, Maddie, I have M-A-D-Y-A, maybe. I'm not 100% sure. Something like that. You put it in, you'll find it. Let me get back to where I'm at. So anyway, what do we see here? He's telling us to be ready. Be ready for his return. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we don't know when he's coming. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, we could see the day approaching, so we could see that things are getting closer. Not sure when. But look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. God tells us or warns us about these last days, what we will see, right? Look here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 1. This know also that in the last days, now the last days started when Jesus arose from the grave, right? That was the last days. You may say, well, it's days, right? In God's eyes, a day is as 1,000 years, right? So since Jesus arose from the grave, in God's eyes, it's only like 2 days, right? 2,000 years, that's it. Anyway, he tells us, perilous, which means dangerous times shall come. And you look at what's in our world today, we're in these days, right? He says, shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Isn't that what you see, right? Do you know when someone murders their child, as in abortion, they try to put it as abortion? The reality is they just love their own selves. They're their own God. You know, they want to kill their baby, right? That's just horrible. Covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. Isn't that what our society is today? Don't you see that? Boasters, right? Blasphemers, disobedient to parents. It amazes me how children are so disrespectful to parents. You should love your parents. But today, it's amazing. You have these little kids, some of the things they say to their parents, horrible, right? You know why they do that? Because they have a sin nature. And the parents did not train them. If you train them, right? The reality is, if they start doing that, you should train them. And if they could, and the reason they haven't stopped is because, don't get mad at me, I'm just telling you the truth, you failed as a parent on that aspect. That's just being, I'm just being truthful, right? So anyway, fix it, right? What can you do? Pray, ask the Lord to forgive you, right? So, but anyway, train them when they're young. When they're young, when you think about it, when you have a little baby, you know, when they're starting to grow and they start to know, you train them then. Do not wait until they're a teenager. Do not wait until they're almost ready to leave the house. It is too late. Train them while they're young, right? Wasn't that, you see those two little boys that came up here? Arthur's what, two? You know? That little boy, you think about it, we're training him how to take up the offering. And when we said something to him about how to pray, right? I guarantee you, it's probably you have told him. Rachel has probably told him. He saw the example. That little boy that's two, when I looked at him and he was going for this, and I said, "Hey, we got to pray first." I didn't do this. The best of my knowledge, I didn't do it. I didn't tell him to bow his head. He did that. Why? Because he's being trained, right? That's good, right? That's wonderful. So, you should be proud, and grandparents being proud, that's there. So, but you think about it, you train them when they're young, right? If you don't train them while they're young, and you're waiting until they get older, don't be surprised what happens. I'm telling you what happens. Remember Moses? Well, you don't remember him, but you remember in the Bible? Moses was under his parents for a very short period of time. Maybe 5 years, maybe 6 years. I'm not 100% sure. But a very short period of time. Those very beginning years, his mom instilled in him and his dad instilled in him about a love for God, about the Messiah to come, a love for the Jewish people. That the Bible says then he left and went under the care of Pharaoh. You imagine all the wickedness that happened in Pharaoh's house. He was a young boy now, is in that environment. But because of what they instilled in him from a very young age, the Bible says when he came of age, he refused. And he said, I want what they taught me.
Why was that? Because they taught him at a very young age. I'm telling you, it is best to teach them in a very young age. Spend time with them all the time, right? Ariana, even though she's 15 years old, she's going on 16 years old, she will tell you, I'm always teaching you, aren't I? I'm saying, just let me to be dad. There's a time to joke and time not to. So be honest. I'm always teaching you. I'm always teaching her. I'm always telling her stuff. I'm saying, dude, I'm just being dad, right? Why? Because I know one day she's going to leave her house. She'll be on her own. I want her to know, right? So anyway, that's all free. But anyway, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. That's our society today. Look at the next thing. Without natural affection. You know what that means? Not caring for their children. That's what we see in our society today. Not without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Can I tell you, there's people that hate you because you're a Christian? You're good. And they hate you. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Look at this. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Isn't that a world today? It is pulling teeth to try to get people to come to church. But people will give their teeth to go to some sporting event. Right? It's just crazy. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Look at this. Having a form of godliness. So he's talking to us as we get closer to his return. We shall come, right? These things. You know what that means? They are still saying that they're religious, or they'll still say, quote unquote, I'm spiritual. That's a big thing that's now. Well, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, right? And they'll say all that, right? I don't need to go to church, or I don't need to do these things. That was all set up, and they'll make up all kinds of things. All that it shows you is you just know a little bit of what someone has taught you, but you don't have a clue. If you're right with God, you'll have a desire and you'll want to come to church. Amen. You'll want to spend time in His Word. Amen. Anyway, that's what we're seeing in this world. And look at this. But denying the power thereof. They don't like the book. They don't like the Bible. They don't like God. When you start telling them what the Bible says, they'll say, I don't need to go to church to go to heaven. You know what I'll tell them, Mark? You're right. You don't. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if you're going to be right with God, you will go to church. If you don't go to church, the reality is you're not right with God. You can't be right with God. Where do you find that? Well, I found it in the Bible. You want me to show you? Then they'll say, Bob, nah, that's all right. You know what they're saying? They already know it. They just don't want to see it again. Anyway, that's what we're seeing in our society today. Why is that? He said these things will come. Folks, can I tell you, I love to stand up here and tell you that our society before Jesus comes back is going to get better. It's not. It's going to get worse. Look down here, verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Here it is, God's telling us things are going to get worse. Look over here to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter chapter 3, look at what the Bible says here. 2 Peter chapter 3, in verse 1. In 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 1, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandment of us, of the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, making a mockery, right? It was recently, I think it was in L.A., that they had these people that dress up like men, that dress up like girls or whatever, and doing things about the crucifixion. Just mocking God, right? I mean, it's just mockers. Making fun of things, right? Mocking and saying, as we see in the next verse, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. They mock. They mock when preachers say, hey, the Bible tells us and warns of these things in the future. And they'll be like, that ain't true. They just mock. They make fun of the Bible. When you start telling them something of the scripture, what is it? That's something written old, long time ago. That's chauvinist. That's all men. And it was all written. And I meant they just mock it. You know why they do that? Verse 3 tells us, walking after their own lust, it's because of their wickedness. They don't want to be told they're wrong, even though they know it, right? But that's what we're seeing in our society today, right? Isn't it amazing in our society, the American society, our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. And we're to the place now where there's people in government saying, you got to keep the church, as in Christians, out of the government. You got to keep all those things out of the government. They're spinning things around and saying, you are Christian nationalist, right? They're trying to make things that are bad from that standpoint. Do you know, Bob, they have a chaplain that prays when they open session? Did you know that? Now, they'll tell you, keep religion out, but they do that. Matter of fact, if you go back and look at our history, some of our founding fathers, Thanksgiving, it was one of the first things that Congress told our president, have a day of thanks to God. I mean, you go back and look. Do you know some of our monuments that were set up have scripture on it? Why would they do that? It's because it's only recently things have changed, right? They used to pray in school until an atheist that's from Baltimore, right? There's Baltimore people. You know, there's something wrong. I know. I think Doris is on the phone. Stacy, right?
No.
I know. I'm just teasing you. But anyway, it was a lady that was there that said, my son shouldn't be forced to do this. And ultimately, she was the one that went in and tried to get that to stop prayer. And it went the whole way up. And the Supreme Court said, yep, you're right. And can I tell you, that woman, which I am not happy for, she died a horrible death, her and her son. But you know her son, the little boy she had that said, I don't want him to pray. Do you know someone reached him and from my understanding became a Christian? And he advocates and says it should go back into the school system. You know, isn't it amazing what God can do? You know, take a life and to change it. But you think about how our society has changed, right? We're seeing that. Get God out of everything. But they're okay to push other stuff. Folks, that's what the Bible's telling us. He's warning us of these things. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17. In Luke chapter 17, if you look down here, verse 26, look at the Bible tells us and warns us, right? Before Christ coming, what are some of these things that you're going to see in this world? Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, that is the Greek word for Noah, right? So when they translate Noah, that means Noah. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So God is now telling us, right? He's telling some things. They did eat and drink. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Let me ask you a simple question in verse 27. Ariana can't answer. What's wrong in those things that he mentioned? Now, again, assuming that he's not talking about drinking alcohol, right? But just drinking, right? What is wrong in those things? What's that?
It says married wives.
Well, it says here, they married wives, right? They could be two people, right? The married
two ladies. So if they had multiple, yes, that would be wrong. But if it's, you know what I mean? Me and Chris, right? We, you know, and you, right? Could be defined as they, right? Would be we, but be they, right? Married wives, right? Chris married Jenny, you married Rachel, I married Debbie, right?
Yep.
There's nothing wrong getting married. Jenny?
They were just fulfilling their own desires. They weren't paying attention to the other. But no one was saying the Lord or anything.
There you go. The thing in itself, per se, is not wrong. However, what is wrong is what Jenny nailed. Right? Well, perfect, right? There was no care of God. It's all about me, right? That's what they were doing. Amen? She read my notes. Or maybe I got the notes from her, right? I'm just joking. You know what it is? Is my father is the same as her father, right? When you look at the scripture, you can read and you can rightly divide it, right? It's wonderful, right? But anyway, you see, these things aren't wrong per se, right? There's nothing wrong if you want to go out and drink as long as it's not alcohol, or eat as long as it, you're not stuffing yourself. And, you know, there's nothing wrong, you know, you marry a good Christian man or woman. There's nothing wrong with, but they had no care about God. Isn't that our society today? There's no care about God. They don't care about the Bible. You know? Let me tell you what the Bible says. I don't care. Right? Go on, look in verse 28. Likewise also was it in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, planted, and built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So again, the things that are mentioned, right? There's nothing wrong with eating. There's nothing wrong with drinking. There's nothing wrong with buying and selling, right? Planning and building. It's wise to do. But what was it? They were just living for self. And what it turned, and you see the wickedness that happened in those places. Isn't that our society today? Look what the Bible says over here to the book of 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians. We're in first. Now I want you to go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, look here at verse 1. Now in this chapter, he's referring to, when you think about that day of the Lord, or I think he says, I think it's day of the Lord. We'll have to go back and look. That period starts, there's a rapture and there's a second coming of Christ. Some of the things that he's referring to as the rapture, and other things, the second coming of Christ. When you study the scripture and you rightly divide and put the pieces together, then you can interpret it correctly. But look what he says here. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together unto him. Right? So you think about it. There is a rapture. Jesus will come in the clouds and will be raptured out of here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 talks about that. And then in chapter 5, he's referring to that. So he's talking about this. And then he's going to talk about another thing. Right? Look here at verse 2. So that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Again, at that period of time, right? There was someone that brought things in and said, hey, these things have already happened, right? You're going to get ready and go through these things, right? And he's saying, hey, don't listen to that, right? God never contradicts his word. And then he tells us this, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Well, who is he referring to? Is he's talking about lost people? He's talking about saved people that are moving away. And then what? The apocrisy. Apocrisy, I think I said it correctly. What that means is false teaching. False things. What he's saying is, people will move away from this book. I have had people through the years come in and say, You know, why is it you believe this and someone believes this and someone believes that and that? Why can't you get all along? And I look at them and I say, amen. I wish we would all get along. But then it's the answer that comes next, Diane, they weren't expecting. I said, we would all get along if we all believed the book. You know, if we all practiced the book and practiced the very words of God, we would all believe the same thing. The reason why someone believes you can lose your salvation or work for your salvation is because they don't believe this book. Because if they believe this book, they would realize you can't lose your salvation. And they would realize you can't work for it. Right? So anyway, but he talks about a falling away. That's what we're seeing in our society today. People are getting away from this book, what they believe. And what happens is you have a generation, right? You have a generation that got to the place that said, you know what? Maybe we don't have to be as faithful to church, or we come once in a while. And they know some things. And now they have a generation that's being brought up that only knows what they were taught from their parents, that really, they're not really grounded. So these kids are being grown up and thinking, well, I don't have to go to church. They didn't go to church. And what you're seeing is this falling away. Let me ask you, have you heard that someone had said, church is a man-made thing that was built? You don't need church. Have you ever heard that before? Some of you have heard it. Yeah, that's there. You didn't get it from this book, right? I mean, matter of fact, if you look at starting in the book of Matthew, going the whole way through, you know what you'll see constantly talking about the church, the importance of church. So where did that come? It wasn't from God. It was man-made. The church wasn't man-made. There are some churches that are man-made. But I meant church, the scriptures talks about church and coming to church and being faithful and learning. That's not man-made. That's God-given. God told us. What's man-made is man saying you don't need to go. And people believing that. It's ironic when people say that. Yeah, church is man-made. No, it's what you're believing is. It's not what, you know. Let me show you the Bible, right? And go to it. I don't want to see that, amen. But that's the Bible tells us of these things. It shouldn't surprise us. Now, those that have some years under you, you think about when you go back in your childhood and maybe you went to church, and you think about when you went to church, the number of people that went to church compared to what you see today. It's just night. Why? The falling away. That's what we're seeing in our society. Our society, I think they said, this may have been the first time since they have recorded it, doing a survey. They're asking people about Israel. And you know, in America society, we have always stood behind Israel. Do you know why?
The blessing.
Yeah, because the Bible says so. God will bless if you stand behind them. God will curse. Do you know, in our society, we're seeing a change. They did a survey. It was more than 50% that's saying something about not helping out Israel anymore. Why? Because we're falling away. People don't see the importance. Man-made, they're thinking, well, yeah, why should we help out that nation, right? Well, but we shouldn't do that. Because people are getting away from this book. And that's what we're seeing, right? So we continue on. It says, except days come and the falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That speaks of the Antichrist, right? And what we could see is he goes on in verse 4, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that as he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist that's going to come on the scene. And the Antichrist that comes on the scene is going to say, hey, we need to build a temple for Israel. And then in the midst of that tribulation period, 3.5 years, he's going to sit down and say, I am God. Worship me. That's what the Bible's saying, right? So, break that down a little bit. Do you know in Israel, they have already have plans to build a temple? They already have supplies? Do you know, I think it was a couple months ago, that the Temple Institute helped in, I forget, it was an area they went to, sacrificed a heifer. They're teaching young men how to sacrifice. You probably didn't know that, did you? But you can Google it, right? Matter of fact, you can go to the Temple Institute and they'll tell you that it wasn't, they'll tell you, I forget what the wording that's there, but they're already doing sacrifices, preparing the young people. Matter of fact, there's people that go up to, Jewish people that go up to the Temple Mount and say, we need to build a temple. That's happening. Matter of fact, recently, the police, because usually they block them off, recently the police allowed them to go. And they went up there and they sang. You may say, well, preacher, what does that all that mean? I'm telling you, you're, as you see the day approaching, right? Over 150 years ago, the majority of the Jewish people were not in that land. It's since the turn of the 20th century, which would be 1900s, that the Jewish people were flocking into their land. What's happening as you see the day approach? All I'm saying is this. When you look at Thessalonians, he's just telling us to be ready. I'm not going to finish the message. There's so much I can go through. But let me ask you this. If Jesus would come today, everyone agreed, there's nothing that's holding him back from coming. The rapture could happen today. Let me ask you, would you go? Are you born again? Are you truly saved? Because if you're not saved, I don't care how often you came to church. I don't care the offerings that you have given. I don't care the time you have invested at the church. You're not going. It's a belief. It's faith in Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that rapture? Because it can happen at any time. Make sure that you know Jesus as your Savior. Make sure that you are truly born again. Look at what's going on in the world. Look at the Scripture. Again, as I said earlier, I have no idea when He's coming. He didn't tell us, right? He just tells us to be ready. If He comes tonight, if He comes by 12 o'clock, will you go? You know, only you can answer that. You know if you accepted Jesus as your Savior or not. And if you truly are born again, there should be evidence that you're a Christian. You know, most people will tell you they're a Christian, but they're not. And people will get mad at you when you tell them that. How can you say that? Well, if you have a true profession, there'll be evidence. It doesn't mean you're perfect, but there'll be a change in your life. If you're still out, nothing has changed in your life, then that means you didn't get the real thing. You got something faked. You got a religious experience. Salvation does make a difference. Are you ready to meet Him? I don't know when He's coming, but I could tell you, I would be ready. Be ready to meet God. You know, I'll give you some other thoughts. And I hope and pray that this doesn't happen. But our president is pushing a lot of buttons and making a lot of people mad. If you think China and Russia are happy with what's going on, you're naive. And there's other countries that are not happy, right, of what's going on. There's no saying that someone cannot come into America with a bomb and it blows up. You may say, that will never happen. How soon we forget about 9/11. You know? Of people coming in and the destruction that happened, right? They wanted to do a lot more than what they just did. Do you know they have been catching people coming across their borders? Some scientists, some others, that have brought in, what was it, plagues or some other things with their, I forget what it was, with farming. Do you remember? You were shaking your head. There was some.
I remember, but I don't remember.
Yeah, trying to bring things in
that would affect our farmlands, where it would destroy, what, do you remember what it was?
I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, it was destroy our farmlands, where you wouldn't have any food. That's happening. Thank God they have stopped them. I think it was in Michigan. They stopped a person. You know what the good news is? When I preach messages, you can go home and you should go home and search it.
Right.
Go home. You go home and Google it, right? Look it up. This is not secret information. It's out there. Folks, what I'm saying is this. Don't be naive to think that nothing can happen to us. There's some people out there that hate us. And the more our president pushed those buttons, he's pushing some buttons of people who hate us. And it's just a matter of time where they may say, all right, that's enough, right? I guarantee you, Russia is not happy with us. I guarantee you, China is not happy. China was getting oil from Iran. They're not happy now. Folks, all I'm saying is there's people out there not happy. He said something about Cuba. He pretty much said, Cuba, you're next. You think about those people aren't happy, right? I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm just telling you, hey, make sure you're ready. Amen? The song we sang, God will take care of you. I'm not worried about it. I know God will watch over me, take care of me. I'm not worried about it. But also, I know I'm ready. Are you ready to meet Jesus? If it would be today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach and teach. And Lord, I pray that this message was a help, but it's a warning to us. Get us ready and prepared to meet you. Lord, I hope that those things, that you continue to stop these people that are trying to come into our country. And Lord, I pray that none of those things that they're stopping, that others would not come in, that you give our police and FBI and CIA wisdom. But Lord, I also know it's your will to be done. And I pray that your will would be done. And my desire today is for the people that are here that they know you. And if not, Lord, I pray today would be the day they get that settled. We ask in Jesus' precious name.